Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Get in on all the sports action and your chance to win up to 100 times your cash with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
You're listening to the Men in Blazers Media Network. Suboptimal Radio.
La quiere por derecha Altidor. Al área viene. Cita por arquero. ¡Gol! ¡Gol!
It's Rog. We back on AMP for a special night with a guest who has long been a hero of mine. We'll bring him on in just one moment. I want to say we will take questions in this format. All you have to do is hit that button at the bottom of your screen, request to call in, and we will move you to the stage. And technically, if we don't move you to the stage immediately, do not fret. We can only have five people up on the AMP stage at once. So even if we don't move you on immediately, just hang in there. We promise we will get to you. Come be with us. And then remember to safely unmute, the key to life. Joining me today on AMP is, well, really a legend of footballing broadcasting, a man who imbues every game he calls with the detail and enthusiasm of a World Cup final and the lung capacity of a blue whale. During the 1994 World Cup, it was his poetry and energy that served as a portal into the sport for so many first-time American viewers. He's been an unmissable part of the North American football world for the better part of four decades. A gent who will be the lead commentator of the upcoming World Cup on Telemundo Deportes, the exclusive Spanish language home of the tournament here in the US. I love watching football on Telemundo, one of the true joys of the game. It's great to bring a hero of mine up to the stage. Welcome, Mr. Andres Cantor.
Roger, how are you? You've been extremely generous to me. Thank you for that introduction. What can I say?
Everything I said, you deserve and have earned and more. And up top, I should say, Telemundo has just announced an expanded lineup of commentators to bring this nation's Spanish language coverage of the tournament on Telemundo, Universo and Peacock. And it includes, well, our mate Diego Forlán, that gent, take it from me, smells so good, the great Tab Ramos, and none other than the legendary Mexican manager, a true hero of this show, Miguel Herrera. Andres, please tell me we will get to see a Cantor Herrera booth at one point during the tournament.
Most likely, yes. That's what I hope. Our day by day will be released very soon, but I anticipate that I will be with him and my good friend and longtime fellow color commentators, Manuel Sol and Carlos Hermosillo, who do all the games from the Premier League and from everywhere, basically, alongside myself. So yes, I hope I get to have a very nice and unforgettable 90 minutes next to Miguel Herrera.
Give the people what they want. Andres, let's talk about you, because you are one of the most fascinating men in the game in the United States. You were born in Buenos Aires, Argentina, in roughly the same era as Diego Maradona, meaning that your youth in that nation was in the pre-Maradona landscape. Honestly, it's hard for many of our listeners to even imagine a pre-Lionel Messi landscape. So take us back to your youth, before games were readily available on television. And the voice of Argentine soccer back then was Radio's Jose Maria Munoz, right?
Yes, it was. Actually, Diego was 2 years and 12 days older than I was. He was born October 30th, 1960. I was born a couple of years after that. And indeed, there was only one game shown on television in black and white way back in the day. So radio was the medium of everyone. People would go to the stadium to watch the game with their old transistor radio glued to their ears. And of course, the younger generation doesn't even know what a transistor radio is, but imagine you have your iPhone glued to your ear, because there weren't even, I don't think there were headphones invented way back in the day. So yes, I grew up listening to a lot of radio play-by-play, and the man you mentioned was like, the Vince Scully of Argentina. He was the most, everyone heard his commentary. So we all grew up listening to him, yes.
You grew up listening to football as you describe on the radio. Can you tell us how that experience captures your imagination as a kid? Because I did too in Liverpool. So many games I'd live for 90 minutes via the radio. And it somehow, especially as a kid, made you picture the players almost as more than mere mortals.
Yes, definitely. As a matter of fact, I have to tell you that I never thought, I knew from a very early age that I wanted to be a journalist. I never imagined, and I will tell you how my life, the chronology of my life went, I never imagined that I would end up doing TV or radio, because I wanted to be a written journalist. I studied journalism in USC, did not take one single broadcast journalism class. And while I was at the university, I was already working as a correspondent for a very well-known publishing company in Argentina that published five different magazines, one being sports, like Sports Illustrated, another one being like People magazine, another being like Time. So I had, you know, a whole bunch of other things I was writing about, but really I wanted to be around football. That is how life goes, I guess. The minute I'm thinking about going back to Argentina because I wanted to be around the game, I get a call from the person that ended up hiring me full time at SIN, Spanish International Network, wanting me to call games for them. And I have never done that.
God, this is a fascinating moment in your career. But I do need to know, when you were a kid listening along on the radio, who were the players or teams in your youth that made a young Andres Cantor dream?
Well, obviously the Argentinian national team, had a lot of players. But then the World Cup, I remember ditching school in 1974 to watch them play in Germany. And of course, every Argentine was taken by, the 1978 team of Mario Kempes, of Ubaldo Filiol, the goalkeeper, Pasarela, our great captain, Ozzy Ardiles, Daniel Bertoni. I mean, we had some amazing players that were already playing in Europe. And obviously that 1978 World Cup is the one I remember the most as my first major impact in my life.
But, it was the same for me in England. We never really watched global football. We watched only muddy men on muddy pitches kick the crap out of each other once a week on English television. To watch Argentine football in that World Cup, the explosion of confetti and toilet rolls flung down to the field whenever the players took to the pitch was just one of the most searing and beautiful and just stunning early memories of my entire life, not just my footballing life, but afterwards. Moved to Southern California with your family as a teenager. You dropped into Los Angeles, which must have been some culture shock in so many ways. But what do you recall about the popularity of soccer, football in LA back upon your arrival, the local scene? What did you make of it? Did you find it easily, or did you have to go and search it?
No, it was, even though the NASL was in its last legs, it was kind of non-existent. I remember I followed the LA Aztecs around. This is a funny story which I chronicle in my book, and there's a picture in the book that I wrote way back in 1996 about the history of the World Cup. The day I'm walking or I'm running in my neighborhood, San Marino, California, and then I run into Johan Cruyff, who was playing for the Aztecs. He was walking his Dobermans, his dogs, And of course, you know, let me take young kids way back to 79 or whatever it was. And I couldn't believe my eyes. So I said, Mr. Cruyff, you know, I was literally almost a teenager going into my youth. I said, do you think you can wait for me? So I'm 3 blocks away from my home. Can you wait for me so I can go get my camera, you know, a full photographic camera, the ones that really are very tiny nowadays. They were big way back in the day. So I run as fast as I could to my home. And I don't know who took the picture, as a matter of fact, but I brought somebody with me, and lo and behold, he was still there with his dogs. And I took a picture with him, and I could not believe that Johan Cruyff had waited for me to go home and get my camera and have my picture taken with him. So, and then, you know, the NASL folded, and, you know, it was really hard to find any, you know, any soccer in LA. They back in the day, they used to bring a lot of Mexican teams to play friendlies, and sometimes the friendlies were fairly good because they brought some teams from Europe. And as you can imagine, because television wasn't televising any of these games, a friendly for people, you know, soccer or football hungry fans was like, you know, the final of the World Cup. So the LA Coliseum or the Rose Bowl got filled with 75,000 people for an Atlas against Roma of Italy game or Fiorentina, whatever. So it was that was the only contact with soccer.
God, this is amazing. God, the Johan Cruyff story, the thing I'm struck by is just the chutzpah of a very young Andres Cantor. Stay there for a minute while I run and get my camera, but God bless you. And Johan Cruyff, rest in peace. You talked about how you moved to the Spanish International Network, SIN. You've been a written journalist. You're suddenly in the booth. Talk about that transition, Andres, from the pen to the microphone.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to tell you an anecdote that happened to me in Vegas while I was covering a boxing match. One of the big ones. It was either Sugar Ray Leonard or Muhammad Ali, I can't remember. And there was an undercard of an Argentine fighter, and these two very well-known boxing reporters from Argentina were broadcasting the fight on the radio. And as soon as the fight ended, after the final verdict, they said, and this is all from Vegas, good night, Argentina, whatever, right? And I see them take off their headsets and just go out. Probably they went to eat dinner or the casino, who knows where they went. And there I am with my old typewriter. And again, I have to explain to young people what the heck a typewriter it was. Trying to remember if the jab was at minute 13 of the 13th round, going through my notes, replaying the whole bout so I could write. And I was like under a lot of pressure, you know, to make deadline and to send and file the report to Argentina. And then when the day ended, I said, I think I might like doing radio and saying goodbye as soon as the fight and just say what I saw, you know, call it as I see it and then say good night and see you next week. So the transition, you know, it was kind of hard because I was used to, you know, first and foremost, I had never done radio or television. I mean, television for sure. So I get called, they tell me that I'm going to do, they're going to do an audition for me, that I should bring two suits, two ties, and two shirts. Okay, fine. So I thought, you know, an audition is just an audition. So I asked, what's the audition about? They tell me, we're going to tape the first game, which is going to air this Sunday, and then we're going to tape the second one that's going to air the following Sunday. And I say, air, you mean on television? And they say, yeah. Okay, so I did color commentary the first game. They took me to lunch, and they said, you know, I can tell that you know a lot about football. You analyze it very well, but we're looking for a play-by-play guy. Do you think you can do play-by-play the next game that we're taping? Oh, and, God, you know, talk about chutzpah. I was 23. Well, I was going to say no. The worst thing that could happen to me is make myself you know, to be ridiculed by Hispanic America on national television. So I did play-by-play.
And, yeah.
and, uh, And I guess the guy liked it. And like, I think this was on a Thursday. I think he called me within a week to offer me a full-time job.
Oh, thank God. Thank God that that occurred. No, Andres, the worst thing you can do is appear on AMP with me. That's the honest truth. But the story you've just told, I live that too. I remember the Snow Classico, the game in Colorado. I was still a written journalist, just starting to do television hits. And Alexi, I was working on four articles on Deadline around that game. And Alexi Lalas just walked into the press room to get some dinner, just slapped me on the back and laughed and said, you should do television. Like, you just come, you roll in, final whistle goes, you roll out. You don't have to do any of this typing crap. And you know what? He was not wrong. But you have moved from those origins, from that moment of peak Andres Cantor chutzpah, to become, through your goal calls, the stuff of legend. Similar, really, to those that the voice of Jose Maria Munoz that boomed out over your radio in the 60s must have been for a young you. And in 1994, when Americans across the country tuned in to watch their first ever World Cup, so many of them, millions, encountered your voice. And you've said you think football is a global language. Is that something that you've always tried to embed in your commentary style?
Well, I call the games with the passion that I have for the game, really. It's nothing that I have to pretend that I'm passionate about. If I get to call Tunisia against Australia on Friday, November 25th at 1 o'clock in Qatar, I will have the same enthusiasm as the Argentina-Mexico game that gets played that same night at 10 p.m. local. I always say that the nicest part of my week, or the part that I wait the most, is the day that I get to call games. I go, it doesn't matter, with the time difference now with the Premier League, sometimes I have, like you can tell Rebecca gets earlier wake up calls or work calls than I do. But, for the 7 a.m., games, I have to be at the network by 5 a.m. So I don't get a good night's sleep because, I don't want to, miss the alarm clock and so forth. But I will go into that 7 a.m. game with as much enthusiasm as any other game. And that is the best part of my week, honestly. So it's nothing that I pretend on air that, I'm really liking the game. I really love football. Football is part of my life, has always been. And I'm very passionate, and sometimes I even say, and this I think Roger comes with age, I have and with experience and with, I take certain licenses more on radio than on TV, but that's happened also on TV. That, like, let's say the Tunisia Australia right game I just referred to, I get pissed off, I get really mad at, why are they playing this way, and I get mad. And sometimes I question myself on air, on the record, and saying, why in the hell am I getting all revved up because the center forward of Tunisia missed an open goal? What's wrong with me? I'm honest. That's the way I feel for the game.
I love it. Can I just say, I do need to say, your goal call, that iconic drawn-out goal orgasm, was heard all around the world in 1994. I remember as a kid listening to it for the first time. They played it on BBC, where the commentators, still to this day, are famed for their lack of emotion, but they played you. They were like, here's how it's being broadcast in America. And we heard your call. And as a kid, I heard it, and I couldn't believe the thrill, which to me is the thrill I felt through football, but because we're repressed in England and we're not allowed to feel emotions, we weren't allowed to say that we felt them. You were that call, which I absolutely adore. And there's a quote of yours that I really love, Andres. You said, you can't fake passion in your calls. It has to flow naturally, or the audience will know it, no matter what language they're enjoying the match. That's a life truth, Andres.
Yeah, thank you for the orgasm part. I will see if I like that definition. in all honesty, I mean, people can tell. I never, ever in 33 years of calling games faked a go-go. Sometimes I've been criticized by fans for not yelling out the goal the same length as the other teams. But it all has to do with the game. I'm just there to broadcast it. You know, if it's a 5-0 game, the fifth goal, unless it really merits it, let's say, you know, it's somebody scoring the fifth goal of their career. Like, I'm going to give you a perfect example. The FIFA Women's World Cup, which we broadcasted on Telemundo from France. I believe it was 13-0 game thrashing of the U.S. Women's National Team against Thailand, I believe it was, yes. So I just said I will not yell out, you know, the fifth goal of a 5-0 game unless it warrants it. But I knew that the U.S. Women's National Team that day was breaking records after records after records. Alex Morgan alone was breaking her own personal goal-scoring records in a single game. So, I mean, it was 9-0 and it was goal, you know, the long howl. It was 11-0, Alex Morgan, okay, goal. And then, like, I think I lowered down the pitch a little bit for the 12 or add another progression, but you know what I mean. So, you can fake passion. We are, I mean, Latins, you know us, we are very passionate.
Oh, you know, if Brentford had scored a fifth against Manchester United, I like to believe you still would have brought it full on. Just the kind of noise that only Andres Canto or Meg Ryan can utter in public. There's so much brilliant football as we come down to the stretch of the Premier League season. But if you're a Premier League neutral who wants a little bit of that title race excitement, check out Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can get in on the action and win up to 100 times your cash. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across our nation, including California, Texas, and Georgia. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. It's that easy. You can also mix and match players from several leagues across the globe, as well as other sports like basketball and hockey. That's right, Prize Picks. Essentially a utopia where polysport action can live and breathe. I'm talking Washington Caps, Everton, and Chicago Bulls action all at once in the face. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code MIB. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. It's Rog here to tell you about a product that I simply adore. It's been a long time staple in the Bennett refrigerator. Stoke Cold Brew Coffee. Always bold, always smooth. Yes, that is the very same Stoke as in the mighty Wrexham Fortress, known as the Stoke Kairas or the Stoke Racecourse, Wrexham AFC's home. They support it. They support football, which is just one great reason to love this coffee. It is my go-to enjoy during the football calendar, essentially the opposite of Everton. And you can check out their full lineup of 48 ounce cold brew products, something for everybody, from light to dark roast to seasonal favorites in a refrigerated multi-serve format. I tell you this as someone whose blood type is now officially Stoke Espresso Blend. Have the coffee house experience in the comfort of your own home and do it now. Stoke Cold Brew Coffee, and be sure to follow Wrexham AFC. Big love to all at Stoke. Courage.
You said that one of your favourite goal calls in your career, Landon Donovan against Algeria, Landon's goal, that stoppage time, full pitch counter, oh, that sent the United States through to the knockout rounds with the nation watching in 2010. It was captured by you in an unforgettable moment of emotional tenor, your voice cracking after almost 100 minutes of feverish commentary. And you've said about that moment that you almost fainted. And what I want to know is, did you have to struggle to compose yourself, or were the words just leaving your mouth as if of their own accord?
If you listen to the end of my goal and my commentary after the goal, I was at a loss for words because I was dizzy and about to faint. You have to remember that this goal was for my radio company, Football de Primera. When I do radio play-by-play, I go at twice the speed as I go on television because I have to be that much more descriptive of what is going on. And you have a different pace, you know, to engage the audience on radio than you do in TV, because TV, I mean, the picture speaks for themselves sometimes on television. So here I am the big moment was at before the London's counter, the U.S. was being eliminated in the group phase from the World Cup, which was a big embarrassment. I had Marcelo Balboa as my color commentator on my left, and I had Bora Milutinovic, the former U.S. coach in 1994, both good friends of mine, on my right. And then, you know, I foresaw when Landon picks up Howard's pass, I foresaw that it could happen, that something could happen. And then I gave it all out because I knew that was going to be the final play. I didn't know how it was going to end up, but I probably unconsciously said, this is it, give it your all, you know, your last gasp, because there's nothing more after this. Either, you know, if it finishes, if it goes in, it's finished. And if it doesn't, it's finished also. So I did. And then, you know, I started yelling goal like a lunatic. I mean, that's probably the one time I yelled goal. I pronounced the word goal and yelled goal the most. And then I was out of air, out of breath, out of everything. And then I got really emotional seeing the American fans. Remember, this was South Africa. It was a winter World Cup. It was a freezing freaking night. And I see all the fans on that corner, behind the corner flag on the far side from where our booth was, taking off their shirts and shirtless and you know, waving their national team shirts and team with them. And I got really, really emotional. I was almost at a loss of words and I had to contain myself from crying. And then, you know, when I went to break, it was like, you know, give me water or give me something because I'm passing out. And then, you know, there was a little, I believe, of social media. We had, you know, the infancy of sellers. I mean, not the infancy of sellers, but we had sellers. And then as I'm heading back to the hotel, my phone starts ringing off the hook. And remember, this is radio. And I, you know, everyone wanted to, they were all replaying, many shows were replaying the goal call. They wanted to speak with me. And I said, whoa, this must have been big in America because, you know, the repercussion for a call on radio, I wasn't expecting it to be as big as it was.
I think they were all shocked because in your fainting mood, you just proclaimed Landon Donovan to be the greatest player in the history of the United States. That's an Andras Canter quote. And I love it. And here's what I love. You talked about how radio is twice the speed. Here's what I love about watching Telemundo. The game feels better watching you, Andres. We always joke on our show that the game that's 3-2 on Fox actually feels like it's 10-9 when you watch it on Telemundo.
Well, I, you know, it's just a question of styles, Roger. And, you know, I respect everyone's style and I think, you know, this country has great American commentators. It has great, you know, English voices now in the game. And everyone, I don't think there is one English language commentator that I don't dislike. I might not agree with their style of play-by-play, but then who am I to judge? If that is what the American audience wants to consume, so be it. You know, my view for the game, for the broadcast, to entertain my audience is different. So I respect everyone, and I thank you for wanting to watch our games. You know, that's the way. Again, that's just a question of what goes through our veins. It's nothing else than that.
Football is better on Telemundo. Oh, life feels better on Telemundo. I want to take a couple of quick questions for you about World Cup 2022, which is fast approaching, which is 95 days away. I also am cognizant of the questions on stage and want to get to our listeners. But you will be dominating the World Cup on Telemundo. What number World Cup will this be for you as a broadcaster?
This will be my ninth calling World Cups, both amazing, television and radio, amazing, and it will be my 12th in attendance. God, 11th working, 12th, if you consider that I went to every single Argentina match and then some in 1978 as a team, but obviously I was a fan, but this will be my 12th overall, 11th working.
Can you give us an Argentine perspective on the World Cup? This could be Messi's last. He's coming off a Copa America and a Finalissima championship. That squad has been coming together so well at the international level recently. Ageless Di Maria, young and hungry, Lautaro Martinez and Julian Alvarez. What do you feel is possible?
Can we redo this interview November 7th? I'm not going to shy away from the answer, but I got word today from Tottenham that Cuti Romero, which is our main center fullback, got injured, and he will most likely be 3 weeks without playing. Of course, you know that Di Maria got hurt in his opening match at Juventus on Sunday, and he will be 2 weeks without playing. So, you know, I will give you the answer as of today, thinking that the team will be healthy and hopefully the coach will have all their players available. I think Argentina has taken off 2,000 pounds, a 2,000-pound load off their back by winning Copa America, especially Messi and Di Maria, because, you know, in Argentina, we are very harsh. We don't want them to reach the finals. We want them to win the finals. It doesn't mean too much for the casual Argentine fans that we reach the final. If we reach the final, we're there to win it. So after having the failed finals of 2014 in Rio, 15 in Chile, 16 in New York, against Germany and Chile twice, this Copa America that Argentina won meant a whole lot for Argentine football, for Messi, for Di Maria. It was like a relief, better than any tactical decision Pep Guardiola, Klopp, Mourinho, everyone can make of this team. Yes, yes.
It was an exorcism.
It was. That is exactly the definition. So, you know, they have a good team. The thing is that we have not been tested against European clubs. I mean, we beat Italy now June 1st in that finalissima final that was played in Wembley. We can, you know, underscore the fact that even though Italy didn't make it to the World Cup, they are the European champions. So it was a good win. But then, you know, the first test, in my humble view, will be Denmark. If Argentina wins their group and Denmark comes second to France, the, you know, round of 16 will be Denmark.
And then I love a man who looks ahead. An Englishman would never do what you've just done, but I admire it greatly.
Well, I have the grid here, and I dream about it, and I have nightmares about it, because after Denmark is Holland and Van Gaal. And then if we get past that, I mean, I have more faith this time, because I think we can beat them. I think Argentina can beat Denmark. I don't play. And I think, you know, on a good day, we can beat Holland. But then I'm just daydreaming as of today, August, whatever it is, 16th, 15th. So we will see. Hopefully, yeah, I mean, the key to Argentina and to every U.S. national team, taken in consideration when the World Cup will be, I always say that the beauty of this World Cup being in November is that the players will be fresher than ever, because they would have played 21, 25 games leading into the World Cup and not the 60-plus games that the big stars play after the full season. But then if you have, you know, players that are hurt along the way, like it happened today with Romero, with Di Maria on Sunday, then the whole story changes. And again, this is not only for Argentina, it's for every single team that will play the World Cup.
We will see. We will see. By the way, Romero apparently got a hand sprain from pulling Cucurella's hair. That's the price that you pay to be a hero. I'm going to take some questions from the stage, but I do have to ask you, last question. We've got to talk about the United States. You've been at the center of American soccer for a long time, Andres. What excites you about the U.S. men's national team prospects this year, either as a commentator, eager to cover their match against England, or as a fan? I guess I'm asking you, are we going to get out of the group?
Hopefully we will. I think every team, I mean, I'm not going to say anything that your audience doesn't know. Every team has to think about their World Cup final. Their World Cup final is the opening match. The U.S. can't think about England They have to concentrate on beating Wales. You can't get to England with 0 points because then the pressure will be enormous. What do I think of the US team? I think it has a very young but very experienced, taking in consideration their youth, group of players. Most of them starting play at the top level. They could have more minutes one than the other. Like, you know, Pulisic now is not getting many minutes in the beginning of the season. We will see how it, you know, what happens with him, if he stays at Chelsea, if he gets more minutes, etc. But hey, he's a champion of Europe. Musa is a starting midfielder for Valencia. You know, my question is about the goalkeepers. How fit, you know, that position is key. Who's going to be the number one? Is it going to be Stefan? Is he going to get enough playing time in his new club? Is Turner going to get enough playing time? So I like the prospect. I think they have a good group, a very good group, with, again, being young, lots of experience. It's very hard to have, you know, an under 23 average group of players with so much European experience. So I know everyone thinking 2026, but no, I'm thinking about 2022. I think they can beat Wales. I think they can beat Wales. Hopefully they can get a good result against England, meaning a win or draw. And hopefully even Iran is a good, you know, it's a good team. They have a very feared center forward. They run a lot. You know, we'll see how they get to that last match group, and hopefully they will get out. They will get out, and then they get Holland.
Oh, we're going to get out like David Blaine, and you will fear us by the sound of our bounce passes. Quick one, moment of truth time, spoiler alert time too. Who's going to win it all and why?
I'm going to answer you with my heart because, you know, I played like you played the Mega Millions a couple of weeks ago, and I thought I was going to win the 1.3 billion, and I threw away all my $30 worth of tickets with not even one good number. So I'm going to answer with my heart. I hope I don't jinx it and say that I hope Argentina wins it. If, without my heart, Brazil has a very, very good team, talent on top of talent, and they will be the team to beat.
God, I love you. I'm going to answer it with my heart and my brain and say, of course, Qatar's going to win it. So let us take our questions.
Hey, what you just said is winning that mega 1.3 billion mega million. So if Qatar wins it, we got to talk again, man.
Well, you know I'm always going to cut you in, Andres Cantor.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Let us bring up to the stage a couple of quick questions. And we will answer them. We've got Andres for another couple of minutes. Let's savor each of them and bring up the great old goat. Tell us where you are in America and what your question is, old goat, after you safely unmute.
Hello, Raj. The old goat here.
Gorgeous.
Massive Manchester United supporter. Heart of Appalachia, Kentucky is where I'm at. I've got a question for you. I have been totally enamored by the conflict of Tuchel and Conte after the match, the handshake. They nearly came to blows twice during the game. So it got me thinking. They're both very studious students and teachers of their trade. So if you had to pick a fighting style for each of them to devote their life to, what do you think that they would do?
Andrew, were you commentating that game?
No, I was not, because I was in Guadalajara broadcasting for Telemundo, a big derby in Mexico. But I did see it, obviously. And I'm sure that, even though the question is a good one, by the old GOAT, I don't think the Premier League is making a lot of fun about that incident, because it didn't happen once, it happened twice. I mean, they are supposed to be the guardians of their teams, and you know, the coaches are supposed to behave a little bit better. But, I mean, what can I say? I think it was an unfortunate incident that happened, but hopefully it was just, you know, pure nature of the Italian. It's not the first time. He had a similar incident with Mourinho, if you remember, when I believe Mourinho was coaching Chelsea, was coaching Man U, I believe. So, yeah, I think they're both very heated coaches, but I think the Premier League will put them in their place, either with a fine, or I'm sure that they will have a talk with them and saying, this is not good publicity. This is not the image that we want to project to the world, being the Premier League what it is.
I think you are probably right, but to answer your question literally, oh, go, I would say, I mean, we've always said that Antonio Conte is Italian Begbie, but I'm pretty sure, looking at his moves, that Thomas Tuchel is a practitioner of the drunken monkey form, which is just full on monkey style. And the at K-Shep, MT, come be with us, tell us where you're from, and then the last question is yours.
Hi, I'm calling in from Great Falls, Montana, supporter of Everton and Sounders FC. After listening to you and Davo break down the Tuchel-Conte handshake, I thought, well, what if we change the rules and in tournaments, instead of deciding games with penalties, it's managers Russian slap fighting? Which Premier League teams and World Cup teams would have an advantage with that rule change?
Whoever has big Sam Allardyce or Sean Dyche as their manager will clearly be on a quick pathway to glory. And it is fascinating. That is an incredible question at Kepsh AMT. What we think people want to watch and what they do want to watch are often two very different things. This moment in time, why do we watch football? I'd love to leave that with you as the last question. Just this pure joyous entertainment, but there was something about the Spurs Chelsea game that does fit into your category of just life lived authentically without fake passion, just the constriction of what we normally see through and aside. And we just saw two men obsessed, two men who are dedicated, two men who are feeling conditions of hysterical stress, just going at it right in front of the world's eyes. What is it that draws us to this, if it's not the humanity?
That's for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would add two elements to this conversation. First, it was fixture number two. Can you imagine this game for the point, for either going into, you know, the last couple of weeks with a chance of winning the Premier League, or going into Europe? This was week two and this happened. On top of that, what you have to love, I mean, I know I don't want to mix money and emotions, but at the end of the day, these are two guys that are making a reportedly annual salary of over $20 million or $18 million each. And yet in week two, they feel this way. I love to have a coach that has this, you know, energy, this hot blood in their veins to coach me and guide me through the rest of the season. I know football has changed nowadays. It's like politically correctness has also taken over football sometimes, but hey, this happened all the time. It still happens all the time in Argentina. It happens every weekend. What am I saying? Just the other day, my club team, Boca Juniors, two players fought on the way to the locker room at halftime, and one came out with a bloody face to play the second half. That's, you know, it's it's a passionate game. I can't answer why it happened, but I cannot underestimate the fact that these guys, you know, put everything on top of, you know, their statue of the coach of the big Chelsea club, the coach of the big Tottenham. I'm supposed to be, you know, the role model, and this and that. And, you know, they put money, sanctions, everything aside, and they just got heated. You know, if Conte would come to me and yell a goal like he did in my face, man, I know I would have to think twice because of my moral clauses in my contract, but hell, I would probably do, you know, the same thing because that's the way I feel. Yeah, goal. Yeah.
Conte yelling in Andres Cantor's face, goal. That is a through the looking glass moment. I want to thank you, Andres. You are the voice of soccer for so many years. You're the lead commentator of the upcoming World Cup coverage on Telemundo, Universo and Peacock. Life is better when it's experienced on Telemundo. Football is better when it's experienced on Telemundo. And now you're the voice of Men in Blazers. Do it live on AMP. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You beautiful human being, Andres. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. It was a great to be with you.
Courage. To close, I want to thank my guest again, Andres Cantor. That was honestly like being in the presence of royalty. I want to thank you and the GFOP community. We'll be back tomorrow with an incredible podcast with Becky Sauerbrunn and the great Megan Klingenberg. Friday with WGFOP weekend preview. Call in your questions, 646-450-9472. Until then, this is Rog saying big, big love and courage. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know.
Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.